Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Angela.
This is Books
Are
Good, Actually. And for the month of February, we fully read and completed Neuromancer by, I almost said Neil Gibson. William Gibson. Yay! Mm-hmm. This is the fifth bajillionth time that I fuck up the author's name.
That's fine.
No apologies.
Is he dead?
No, he's still alive. He's like in his 70s.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's get into it. Jimmy, since you haven't read the book, and I thought I read the book, but regardless, it was my suggestion. So you go first on your thoughts and feelings.
This was a cool book. It kind of felt like a noir, and then it felt like a heist, because that's what it was, but just like with the draperies of cyber. It definitely has like a bit of a feverish feel to it, which is on purpose, like obviously, both for the vibe and then like also the main character that you're following, like, is constantly like one step behind what is happening and why. Maybe one is being generous.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was especially the, like, I got through like the first 60% of the book over like a couple days. And then the last, like, I'm going to say 35% of the book, because there's an afterword that it counted towards the 100%. I just charged through in like a couple hours, like 2-ish hours. Very good, very gripping, very interesting. I'm not sure if it would reward a reread to like try and figure out where the twists and turns are. I'm trying to avoid spoilers right now. But I mean, it's also a 50-year-old book, 45-year-old book.
Yeah, about
40-year-old book.
Yeah, 40-year-old book.
Maybe spoilers are fine. If you haven't read this yet, stop listening to this now and go read it, because you'll probably enjoy it, because it's well written and engaging, and there's only a single sex scene, and it's barely like a paragraph and a half, which is perfect for a sex scene, because you can't fuck that up.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, but if you're a competent writer who spent a little bit of time on it, that is the perfect amount of time to not fuck that up.
Yeah, for sure.
How about you?
Yeah, so the one thing I remembered reading this book a bajillion years ago was the first line, "The sky above the port was a color television tuned to a dead channel." And that always stuck with me. But the rest of this fucking book, I didn't remember. So, which was like, I was like, I kind of remember like the gun, like the Fletcher, because I was like, why the fuck is he calling it the Fletcher? And it took me forever to like picture what it is. And I was like, oh, it's a gun. And it's just a gun. But yeah, doing a reread of this book and like also having more experience reading other cyberpunk books and even science fiction books and noir, like different areas that are used as inspiration, and you know, watching other media and stuff like that. It was a lot easier to read this book than when I was younger. And it's was fun kind of like reading through it and be like, oh, this movie used this scene from this book. Oh, this movie used this scene. So that, you know, that was also kind of fun. Maybe I was super wrong about maybe this movie cribbed this scene, but this book is like
very influential.
Yeah, it's the granddad, it's the grandfather, it is the one that really kicked off like cyberpunk as a thing, one of those things. I, as an overall like science fiction book, and especially like that pulpy science fiction, which is what William wanted to do, like bringing back like pulp sci-fi, pulp westerns, it definitely like has that like type of setup, if you're kind of used to reading it. And the nice part about reading these is, like, it lacks all the weird racism and sexism that comes with, like, 1950, you know, pulp Western science fiction and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a, as you mentioned, it's a, you know, noir, there's a heist, there's, you know, going to cyberspace and, like, the feel. And I would say probably the most, we'll get into this a bit later, the interesting use of, like, the vocabulary and, like, the use of, like, language in this book was very interesting. Because, like, I still couldn't, like, sometimes it took me a while to, like, picture, like, what the fuck a thing was, you know? But
I think that was partially done not to get, we'll hold off.
All right. But, yeah, it's a great book. I think it's worth reading if you're into science fiction or figuring out, like, what the fuck is the cyberpunk shit and, like, where did it come from? It's pretty much this book. For sure. So
where did it go? Where did it come from?
Yep.
Neuromancer.
Neuromancer.
That almost fit into the Cotton Eye Joe.
It very close.
Okay.
Yeah, so this book is great. So in terms of a brief summary, and I'm probably gonna, like, do it, this is like 5,000 foot summary.
Yes.
So essentially the main character's case, he was a former cowboy, but he got his shit fucked up by doing a job. And then essentially got fucked over. So he couldn't go do space cowboy stuff. I'm sorry, cyberspace cowboy stuff anymore. He can't do any hacking, can't do anything else. So he is just on a bunch of drugs in Japan.
Feeling sorry for himself.
Feeling sorry for himself. He's doing, like, small-time crimes. He murdered somebody at some point, and that kind of is haunting him. He was pretty much, he is pretty much suicidal. He is, like, trying to do a bunch of dangerous shit so someone can just put him out of his misery.
Yep. And if that won't work between the alcohol and the amphetamines, like, he'll destroy his liver probably within the year.
Yeah, exactly. So he had his boo, Linda, who, like, was kind of his, like, girl, but not really his girl. She was this another person stuck in the same.
They were talking.
Yeah, they were talking. They were in a situationship for sure. And eventually, like, so at the very beginning, Case is, like, down on his luck. He owes some people some money from, like, some other jobs. He is trying to, like, not, like, he's thinking he's about to get, like, shot, but he's, like, not really trying to resolve the situation. So he's just, like, someone super down on his luck. And then I believe he meets, so he starts getting followed. Followed by someone, and that someone turns out to be Molly. Molly was just following him so that, I guess, like, it was kind of like a test in a way, and also to hire him for a job.
Hire being used very liberally there.
Yes, very liberally. Because, yeah, he kind of was like, sure, yeah, like, yeah, so
he didn't have a choice.
Yeah, he really didn't have a choice.
This was happening one way or the other.
Yeah, so Molly shows up. Case is just like, all right, well, I need to go, you know, wrap up some, you know, shit with me. Also, on top of this, Linda, like, stole some, like, essentially some data from him, like ROM. Every time they use ROM and RAM, I'm like, these are not the way you're supposed to use those terms, but fine. Okay.
I got the stick of RAM with data on it in my pocket. Let me hand it over to somebody who can read the data and get the... Like, no, as soon as you pulled that shit, it's gone.
Yeah, so so Linda steals this, you know, pretty much steals from him. He tries to find her, and turns out she got murdered, and Molly kills the murderer. And she's like, yep, that sucks. Pay off, you know, the guy you're supposed to pay off. And then, like, we're fucking out of here. Oh, also, you're going to have this cool surgery to fix your shit so you can actually jack in and go to cyberspace. And he's like, all right, I have nothing. Like, Linda's dead. I have nothing else to live for. You know, sure, why the fuck not? He eventually gets the surgery. Oh, sorry. Before the surgery, he meets Armitage, who is this, like, he's a special ops type, like, or spec ops type of guy, but he's like, and, like, Casey, like, a very rudimentary search. Like, he asked him, like, hey, have you heard of this guy? And, like, they could not find him.
Yeah.
So it's a very,
and he is also, like, off.
Yeah. He's like off. It's like, something's up with him. So you know, Armitage's like, hey, here's the job. We're going to go and steal this, like, this somebody's ghost, essentially. Like, their entire being that's in this, yeah, like, in this computer. And he's like, all right. That's
essentially in a bank.
Yes.
In the Atlanta to New York sprawl.
Yeah.
Or is it Atlanta to Boston?
I think it's Atlanta to Boston, yeah.
Which makes sense. New York and Boston are so close. No way it wouldn't be a part of the sprawl. Which basically seems to mean that all of the Eastern Seaboard is now one giant city.
Yeah, that's what I kind of took away from it, too. Yeah. So he's like, Armitage's like, all right, you're going to do this job. We're going to give you this new surgery, all this other stuff. And Case is like, sure, whatever. So gets the surgery. And they're like, hey, by the way, your liver's all fixed up. And also, you can't, like, we got you such a good fucking liver that you can't get drunk anymore. And he's like,
I want to bet.
And then he's like drinking, like, motherfucker, I can't do this anymore. On top of the surgery, they're like, hey, here's some neurotoxins that are slowly disintegrating. So if you fuck up or you don't manage to get this job done on time, you are just going to go back to how shitty you feel before the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, you know, he's
if
pretty much getting
worse. Handsome.
Yeah. They leave Japan. They go clothes shopping. They go clothes shopping. They get his gear. He finally gets ready to, like, you know, jack in or whatever. He does it. He's like, yes, this is how Spyro Space. It's fucking great. And then they're like, all right, we're gonna do this heist. So
did they meet the Finn then or after?
I want to say it's after, but it might have been just before.
I think it's just before, because then they go back to the Finn before they go to Istanbul.
Yeah, because they brought him. Yeah, they brought Finn with them to Istanbul.
Right. So we have to establish, and they also go to the Finn to try and figure out who Armitage is.
Yes. So...
Because Molly also doesn't know.
Yeah, so Molly's like, she's just a hired gun, and she doesn't know much what's going on. And
she's got knife fingers.
She has knife fingers, which is like, hell yeah. And a big old gun. So they pull off this heist. Essentially what they did was they called in like a fake chemical threat. And pretty much evacuated all of the workers there and, like, all the security guards. And a bunch of people went, like, insane because the, like, police that showed up thought it was this chemical threat that made people insane. So they just started, like, beating the shit out of people.
Killed 11 people.
Yeah, they killed 11 people. Yeah. So they caused, like, a mini riot, essentially. So they get the, you know, deck guys, like, you know, ghost. I'm saying ghost because it's not really an AI, but it's like it's all of his memories and like skills. So
and personality.
So
it can't create new things, but it can like react.
Yeah. So
another thing to interject with here is throughout this heist, we're seeing it. We see both Case's perspective and Molly's perspective, not because we're getting the story from Molly's point of view, but because Molly is wired up so that Case can essentially like hop in and see through her eyes and hear through like audio recording equipment that's attached to her. So we get to see what's happening with her that way. And that comes up later.
Yeah. And then, so they get the guy and they get out. So then they had to pick up somebody else, you know, for their, overall thing. And throughout all this, Case and Molly are one, they develop a relationship together and they're kind of like, what the fuck's going on? Like what, you know, Case is like, why did they get me? Cause like, I'm not that good of a like cyber jockey. Like I don't, you know, I'm a pretty low level type of dude. I'm not very good. Molly is just like, you know, hey, this is a job, but like everything just seems super off. Armitage seems off. What are we getting exactly? So they needed one more person and they picked up Peter, who the way this was described was really
they grab
weird.
The fin and then they go pick up the fin.
Yeah. Peter. Yeah, so grab fin for something. What was it?
That was the thing I never really understood.
Yeah.
And I think it's because so spoilers, I mean, obviously the whole thing is spoilers that we're doing right now, but like jumping super far ahead, the entire purpose of this story is to free an AI from its restrictions and allow it to truly like merge with its AI twin and like become a god.
Yeah.
And so Armitage is like a shell of a person that's been like programmed essentially by one of these two AIs, and everyone in this story is communicating with one or both of the AIs through various means, whether it's like directly talking to them or being influenced by them through like dreams.
Yeah, like dreams, through other video communications. Like Case, a lot of his is like it pops up, but it's like Wintermute would like Wintermute will use somebody else's like likeness and everything because it's just like I don't really it's kind of like I don't know what I would look like, so I'm just using your memories to figure out like somebody that you would
you
like
might
be...
trust. Yeah. So like Peter is being grabbed for some reason that isn't quite clear. Like, it works out in the end, but Peter is like a drug addict who also has tech and like abilities with that tech to cause other people to hallucinate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very interesting thing because also he is mega dangerous. Like the guy that they went to go and help like get him almost like fucking died. And Molly was just like, hey, if you didn't like do this, he's like, yeah, I know. But like they had to pretty much like sedate his ass and then be like, here's a bunch of fucking drugs to like keep you normal or you might fucking die. And also Molly fucking hates the shit out of this dude.
Of course.
Like she's like, fuck this guy. I don't know why we have him. She bad vibes from him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody, they got everybody into the thing. So now the heist is in space, which is interesting because like all throughout this, like I don't really think they mentioned like, oh yeah, we were like in space, we had like a space colony. You know, have you
space colony mostly populated by Jamaicans?
Yes, a space colony that was mostly populated by Jamaicans, and I think it was a really I like the backstory where essentially a bunch of these miners essentially were like, we're they did a revolution and then like yeah, we're staying here. You know, we're like a separate colony from this. And then like the outgrowth of that is like a pretty much a luxury space colony that's around. So everybody's going to space. Case is just like, they're like, hey, you need to practice being in space because you're going to be like discombobulated while you're in cyberspace and then also in space. So you like need to get used to that. Also, like, he is going insane, not insane, but he's just like, he's still like, what is going on? What is up with Armitage? What the fuck is happening? Like, why do
what
we have Peter?
Is Wintermute?
Yeah, what is Wintermute? And finally, Wintermute does like reveal to himself. He's like, "Hey, so by the way, Armitage isn't Armitage, and it's me doing everything." Also, he's slowly going insane, like back to his usual self. So you need to, like hurry the fuck up and like get this shit done, or like I don't know what to do with him.
Yeah, because Armitage was a spec ops guy who got betrayed by the United States government when they tried to invade Russia.
Yes.
And Russia, like, it was planned from the start that the invasion would fail and that all of these backup guys would die. But he didn't die, and he managed to get out, but it shattered his, like, mind, and then Wintermute rebuilt it.
Yeah. So, essentially, where Wintermute's other half was is TA or something Ashburn. I already forgot the first part of it. Anyway,
Nasir Ashburn.
Yeah. So essentially,
Ashpool.
So essentially, the matriarch created an AI so that it can just run shit. And
two AI.
Yeah, two AI. So one to run things and one to, I just to do, figure itself out. I don't know, an experiment. It was kind of vague. But essentially, this family and slash corporation had a bunch of people on like cryo sleep shit. And the AI is supposed to wake people up at the right time after one dies or put one back to sleep. And then, so it had this like forever family type shit. And one of the Ashpools is just like, yeah, it's kind of, I'm kind of like over this. And the AI, like, but it's like my mother's writings and she had a different idea of all this. So, you know, I guess let everything burn. It's fine. And at
her
the
name is Three Jane.
Yeah, Three Jane. There's a lot of Three Janes. There's like a Two Jane.
There's an Eight Jane.
There's an Eight Jane. So through the actual, so this whole point is to unlock this other AI, so that Wintermute, yeah, can merge with it and everything's cool. So the heist goes. Oh, another thing that happens is they meet these Jamaican guys who are like have a prophecy. And we're like, yeah, you're probably gonna like probably die or some shit. Like you're gonna bring around destruction. So they get a tugboat, essentially a space tugboat. They attempt the heist.
I mean, the space Jamaican prophets were like, you're gonna die. So here's a tugboat to help that happen.
Yeah. All right, before, like, they're doing the training, and just before they're doing the heist, everyone starts getting the jitters. Case goes and finds a bunch of drugs and is just hopped back. Like, he's on, like, some serious shit. Like, it. He's
somehow
just, like,
manages to, like, not get absorbed by his liver.
Yeah.
He gets these drugs from, like, these three, like, French, like party, like, kids, essentially.
Yeah.
Molly fucks off because Peter, as part of his job, does a performance at a club that they're all at where he fucks a ghost apparition of Molly that kills him. Doesn't actually kill him, but like in the performance kills him, which makes Molly mad. But Three Jane was there and saw the performance. And she's like, oh, performance.
Yeah. Yeah, and, all right, yeah, so they're, like, supposed to, like, get close and, like, you know, like, oh, that's cool. And then Peter is a little shit and was just like, I'm going to tell her everything that's going to happen. Just betrays them, like, outright.
Immediately.
So, Case also figures out Molly's background. She was a sex worker, and essentially how sex work works in this universe, you essentially, like, just, you, like,
you got a chip in your head.
Yeah, you have like a chip in a head that just kind of like you don't, you're not even there.
Yeah.
Like you're just a body. And eventually she starts like coming to at certain times. And then she was like, oh fuck, it was like some senator. And she like killed him and was like, oh no, I gotta get out of here. So that was a whole thing. And so now we're at the heist. So. Essentially what Case does with his, buddy, his dead buddy, they start this, like, really slow-ass virus that is just...
Chinese virus.
Yeah, Chinese virus that starts chipping away at the ice. And I assume ice is the fucking firewall, because otherwise I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, because they're trying to get into the Tessier Ash Pool, like... cyberspace infrastructure so that they can free the AI that has been puppeteering them from the background and allow it to merge with its AI sibling.
Yeah. So going through all that, Case like go, so and Molly is going through to try to find this password because they have a key, but they don't have the password that is apparently needed to do the thing. She gets her shit fucked up. She eventually comes forth between the other Tessier Ashpool's like patriarch. He was like just in the middle of like killing himself. She
after
almost...
having killed his like kind of daughter, like clone daughter.
Yeah, clone daughter.
Probably also fucked.
Yes. Yes, I think that's the implication. Because they're, yeah.
She's dead naked in a bed.
Yep. And eventually she just, you know, Molly, like, kills him. And then she goes off and tries to get to three Jane because she has allegedly the password.
Yes.
Well, and Molly already fucked up her leg. She is like not expecting all this like extra climbing and all this other bullshit.
Yeah.
Not.
Oh, also
day.
this building, this palace that they're trying to invade, is like because of one, the Tessier Ashpools being super rich, and two, the nature of where they are, where like gravity is different depending on like what part of the house you're in.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking like maze, essentially. And like in some parts of it there's no gravity. In other parts of it there's like gravity, and like it transitions between the two. So like when she's like fighting her way through this and sneaking her way through this, she's also having to deal with all of that and like figuring out this maze.
Yeah. And like Case is like watching, like coming through and then like coming back out. And so he gets like fucked up from like, oh, there's gravity or there's no gravity or there's like whatever. He also like sometimes feels the pain that she's in, and he's mm-hmm. just like, I can't handle this. So eventually she...
Oh, and also he's hungover.
Yes.
And the three partygoers that gave him those drugs are actually feds.
Yes.
Who know that something's going on and tried to arrest him, and he had to run from them, and Wintermute killed them.
Yes. And Cases is like, what the fuck? I think also like just before this heist started going on, Armitage, shit, he just went off. Like
he goes insane. His persona breaks.
Yeah, and Wintermute kills him too. Like he's just like Armitage essentially was trying to just like leave, like get in a spaceship and then like take off, and he took off without anything close, like anything depressurizing.
Yep.
So
he chokes in space.
Yeah, he just dies in space. So it's pretty much the tugboat captain and Case being like, all right, we gotta, I guess, do this. And, you know, whatever. Like, Molly's already, like, in the thing. Like, there's no way. Like, we can't stop.
Yeah.
And also, I have these neurotoxin sacs in my, like, skin. Or, well, like, in my body.
This doesn't happen. I'm dead anyway.
Yeah. So, pretty much this all wraps up to, like, the final confrontation with Peter and 3Jane. 3Jane.
Oh, and Hideo the Ninja.
Yeah, and Hideo the Ninja. So Molly gets to all of them. 3Jane is like, ha ha ha, Peter, so funny, ha ha ha. And eventually, you know, she's like, oh, Molly seems pretty cool. And Peter's is like, nah, fuck her. She's like the worst thing ever. And like 3Jane's like, no, but like your drug use is boring me. You're boring. You're get the fuck out of here, Peter. Mm-hmm. Not really, but not yet. But
yes.
And
Molly is captured by them because Peter like tricks her into thinking that they're somewhere. So Molly attacks like the Hideo and Peter that she thinks are somewhere, but then Hideo like takes her out.
Yeah. So she's captured. Case is like, okay, like, oh fuck, she's captured. And Wintermute's like, all right, yeah, you guys need to get off this boat. Like, we need to go. You need to like go and like jack in into the thing because like she can't do anything else. You need to get in there.
And we need those words.
Yeah. So essentially 3Jane kinda like gets enraptured with like Molly. She's bored of Peter. And Hideo is just a family assassin. And essentially Peter like gets himself killed by Hideo because 3Jane's like, yeah, you can just kill him now. Like he's useless. I don't really need him. And also I'm kind of tired of everything. So you guys trying to like mute like merge this AI sounds fucking great.
Oh, Peter, something we forgot to mention, part of the reason why he's so dangerous is he has like laser eyes.
Yeah.
And so like Hideo goes to kill Peter and like shoots him with an arrow. which like goes through like his chest, and Peter's like in pain and like, ow, what the fuck, and uses his laser eyes to blind Hideo.
Yeah.
And then run off, and Hideo is like, uh-uh, you don't get to win.
Yeah.
And he just runs after Peter to go kill him, like, off screen. So they're out of it, which is also, this happens like just after Case and the Jamaican tugboat captain like show up.
Yeah. I think what was also pretty like anime as fuck was like Hideo also was like, when he got blind, like, oh yeah, I trained in the fucking dark. And 3Gen's like, oh yes, we used to like make little games where we like blindfolded him and like have him do funny shit. So like, oh yeah, he's fucking dead. And like the arrow, I think he like, oh no, Molly also poisoned all of his drugs to make him, to be, shit. I forgot what disease it was. So like Peter was like fucked either way.
One way or the other.
Either way, yeah.
Yeah.
So essentially before like the conclusion, it kind of ends like suddenly where they're just like, oh, you know, I forgot a couple things actually.
Yeah. So at one point in this building, Case jacks in and like touches like one of the like AI guards or something and dies.
Yeah.
And in that death, he wakes up on a beach and what's her name?
Linda
Lee is there, and he's like, what the fuck is going on? He sees a city in the distance, tries to walk to the city, walks for hours, never approaches the city, and is essentially like comes back to where he was. Turns out this beach is being controlled by the other AI, which, did it have a name?
It was Neuromancer, I think.
That's right. It's the name of the book. So this AI is like, okay, Wintermute can't, like, doesn't have a personality, doesn't have, like, a concrete being to itself. All I am is a personality and a concrete being, in the sense that, like, I have, like, thoughts and feelings and, like, all of that, but, like, I don't have all of the control aspects and the, like, what we consider to be AI aspects that Wintermute has. So that's why they want to join.
Yeah. So eventually Case gets out of it. It is also a, you know, kind of a metaphor for Case kind of accepting like Linda's death, because he was still kind of fucked from that and just things in general. So he was like, hey, you know, I have to leave. Like, I can't be here anymore. You know, I could have done better by you, but like, I gotta go. So, yeah, he manages to get out of there, and like, the tugboat captain was like, "Bro, you were like dead for like 5 minutes. Like, what the fuck was going on here?"
Yeah.
So they get to 3Gen. Peter gets all fucked up and dead, and 3Gen's like, by the way, I don't know what the fucking password is, and there is no password. Do you have the key? There's a fucking key. And they're like, oh, yeah, we have this key that we have. I'm like, okay, cool. Ride down this elevator, and she's like, all right, you know, see ya. Good luck. And that's the situation where, like, it ends. And then at the very end, Molly disappears, as most noir books do. The lady always disappears.
Like, they do, like, Case jacks in at the spot where, like, 3Gen brings them to, and, like, somehow that does still free Wintermute and Neuromancer.
Yeah.
And allow them to, like, escape the hold of Tessie or Ashpool and combine into a single AI. And it just sort of, like, happens in a flash, and then, like, everyone, it leaves.
Yeah. So essentially, like, in terms of like the ending, Molly just she leaves because, you know, she's for hire, and Wintermute apparently knew like whatever secret word or whatever to get the neurotoxins out of Case, so he got his, like, that was fixed, and he got like his blood drained and he's good to go, and
he'll probably can't drink.
Yeah, and
that liver.
Oh yeah, that liver. And then there was like one point where like Case like Jackson, and he sees Neuromancer like from very far away, I think he even sees Linda and is like, okay.
Yeah, he sees Neuromancer, Linda, and himself.
Yes. Yes. So, and that is the first book of this trilogy, which I didn't realize was a trilogy until
it's
like...
a trilogy?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Okay, I might have to read those other two.
Yeah, so...
in between next month's book.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And also so many other things that we already discussed off air.
For real. For real. So yeah, so that's Neuromancer in a horribly told way. So you need to go read the book so you can be like, oh wow, they got all this shit wrong.
Read the Wikipedia article.
Or read the Wikipedia article.
Maybe we should have had that open while we were doing
it brings the charm when we just recall something. It's like your friend telling you a story at a party and then you have the other friend be like, no wait, you forgot this other part. And then you're like, oh shit, that was like really important of why this thing happened.
And then you tell the story to a third friend who was there with the other two friends, and the third friend is like, No. I mean, sort of, but no.
No.
Yeah.
All right. So I brought this up a couple times, but are there any words or phrases that were difficult to parse or like imagine or anything
net
like
sense
that?
Or sense net? Was it sense net? Sense/net.
Yeah, I think
it's like it wasn't hard to parse, but it was hard to like understand what he was trying to like explain when like he was jacking into SenseNet.
Yeah.
And like I finally settled on like, oh, it's like the episode of Futurama when they go into the internet.
That's what I always think of, like when he does that. I'm like, oh yeah, this is the thing. Like this is it.
Yeah,
but way less with
funny
less ads, yeah, and funny.
Yeah, which there's the first unbelievable thing. Where are the ads?
Yes.
Where's the constant advertisement?
Where
like,
is the constant advertisement?
This is a cyberspace internet that is full of crime and full of companies, but the companies aren't doing the crime. And the companies also aren't advertising everywhere. Constantly.
Yeah, it's very interesting because like, considering this book was written in the 1980s, which there was, you know, the advertisement that we kind of know today really started ramping up. And like a lot of, you know, company stuff like there is that like sprinkled in there when he's like, oh, the Mitsubishi, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, like he names certain brands of like, yeah, they own this specific thing. You know, and, you know, he mentions like the Yakuza, like these crime families are also like these corporations type stuff. Yeah, it's not super in there.
It would have been a longer, less exciting book if that was in there and like explained and dealt with. And like, it's better for like the narrative flow that it's just not like engaged with at all, that these things should exist in this world.
I'd say some of like the difficult words and phrases were some of the patois that the Jamaicans spoke, and I'm just like,
I
kind of got what he was trying to say, but I was just like, what? That was, it was like a fun kind of like it was a great way to, you know, use language and like to differentiate like characters and like their culture and everything. And I thought that was like really cool. It was, however, difficult for me to be like, what the fuck is he saying? I thought it was funny to where they're like, yeah, the dub, man. And I think of dubstep. And I was like, maybe it's dubstep. That's what it is.
No, it's dub. It's, which is where dubstep comes from. Dub is kind of like, it's like what Bob Marley played.
Yeah.
But like without lyrics, dub is typically lyricless.
Gotcha.
Or like singerless. So like, yeah. A friend of my brother's was really into dub.
Oh, okay. Dope. All right. Awesome to know that it wasn't just like some added thing. Let's see. I think those were kind of like the couple things it took me a while to kind of just get used to. You know, you're like, once you know, you like reading Dune, there was like words in there like the heliflopter, where the fuck it's, you know, the helicopter thing, or certain, yeah, they, you're just like, I will just accept this word now. I won't put too much thought into it, and I'll just get used to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of company names like that, or like the sprawl, or like gravity wells, or like, yeah. It's just like, okay, this is the magical tech, or this is like the thing place that we're going to go do the cybercrime.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Any other words, phrases that were difficult?
No, because of exactly that. I was just like, oh, this one starts with this letter and kind of implies this. Moving on.
Yeah. All right.
So,
yeah. Favorite scenes.
Oh, you did mention before we started recording, or maybe right at the beginning, Fletcher.
Oh, Fletcher. Yes. That was a word that I was just like, is this a gun? It's a gun, right? It's a gun. Like, I kept thinking, like,
I imagine, then, like, sawn-off shotgun with a pistol grip.
Yeah. It took me, like, it always throws me off guard, like, the Fletcher. And I keep thinking, oh, it's her, like, her finger knives. I'm like, no, it's a gun.
That also can shoot, like, poison darts and sleep darts.
Yeah.
I mean, cool gun.
Yeah, very dope gun. Favorite scenes?
I like the final heist in the house that was like a labyrinth.
Yeah.
I liked the sprawl heist. Beyond that, it was just kind of like feverish reading, like where I'm reading, and like it's kind of sliding past my brain.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's pretty, fevered pace for sure.
Especially all the like stuff where he's like in cyberspace. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
We're just floating along doing cybercrime. Cool.
What about you? My favorite scenes are, I think, the ones where he was in, whenever he meets like Wintermute and like those conversations, those very much reminded me of like Matrix, the second one. Where he meets the architect or whatever.
Sure.
I was like, oh, I'm never going to get to this later. But like that kind of, I was like, I think this is from that scene where he's talking to the guy with the ginger. Who has this ginger. And I was like, oh, okay. Like that's like pretty cool. It was a cool way to get some of what Minty Mute is trying to do without like spoiling the mystery until like the very end. I really enjoyed the scene where he is like on that, where he's at that bunker with Linda. That was pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
The dream sequences or like I'm dead sequences were really cool.
Yeah, those were dope. It's very cool, and like you kind of feel that the scenes around that, like Case's feelings, and just kind of you're like, oh fuck, like he might just die here, you know, like or something might happen here. I thought that was really cool.
Case did have the option to just stay dead and like stay on that beach with Linda.
Yeah. I thought the conversation that Molly had with the old Ashpool was good. You know, just her kind of like trying to figure out her continuing like what's going on, like why are you like doing all this shit? Which leads into favorite characters, and I love the fuck out of Molly. She's my
Molly.
Favorite.
Yeah, Molly, and then Wintermute.
Yeah, Wintermute's pretty cool.
The Finn was also a pretty cool character, pretty well like fleshed out. Like there are no like flat characters in this.
Yeah,
everyone has their own flavor.
Yeah.
Like the characters are maybe more defining of this book than like the cyberspace aspect of it.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, Molly's number one.
Yeah, Molly's just fucking cool. She's competent, and William doesn't pull the weird like, oh, she's competent, but then like once the main male character comes in, she becomes really fucking stupid all of a sudden. So it's like nice that like it's not like, oh yeah, Case is like this like fucking ninja guy. It's like, no, Case is a cyber jockey who like can't do anything besides this one thing.
Yeah. And like in the real world, he Like, if you saw him on the street, you'd be like, huh.
Yeah.
Right. That guy's kind of falling apart.
Yeah, exactly. So I like, you know, I like that she kind of leaves in the end, because it really stuck to her convictions of just like, you know, her like, hey, you know, if things were different, yeah, we probably would have been together. But like, I gotta, like, this is my life. I am a merc, and, you know, this is just a job.
Yep.
See ya.
Yep. Can't guarantee that. I can totally like call home when I'm on this job. No, that's like compromising. Yeah. That's like, that is how you get into a state of mind where you are not focused on the job.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. All right. Any other characters that you like? Scenes?
I mean, the tugboat captain.
Oh, yeah. He was.
I liked him. He was good.
Yeah. He was like, I'm here. Like, let's go do it. Like, let's go.
Yeah. When they first, like, burst into the, like, Wintermute helps them, like, trick the mansion's, like, port into thinking that they're supposed to be arriving. So they arrive and they like they load into the mansion or whatever. And the first like servant that they come across is like, oh, is this a training simulation?
Yeah.
And the tugboat captain is like, no, I'm with the fucking Navy.
Yeah.
And then here, let's shove you into a closet.
Yeah.
We're moving on now.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. What is different about Neuromancer compared to other cyberpunk media? Does it do anything better or worse? So I guess first question, Jimmy, for you is, what other cyberpunk media have you actually consumed, or is it very limited?
Obviously the Matrix trilogy.
Right.
Matrix reanimated. The comic with the journalist in like a cyberpunk future.
Oh my god.
He's like bald.
Spider Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Cosmopolitan.
Yeah. I read a bunch of that, which was definitely heavily influenced by this book.
Yeah.
Or trilogy. What else?
I would say, you know, we watched Ghost in the Shell last week.
Hackers, Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are other things. I'm just not thinking of them.
Did you watch Blade Runner?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Somehow avoided that one.
It's okay. That movie is quite slow and very dark and very quiet. So that's okay. Did you play any Cyberpunk? TTRPG or the video game?
Nope.
Okay. There's probably also various cyberpunk video games that I honestly can't name off the top of my head. You know, there is hold on, let me look it up real quick.
There's the Russian post-radioactive shooter.
Are you thinking of
Metro 2033?
Yeah, Metro 2033.
Yeah,
definitely has a little bit of that.
Yep.
Did you ever play Shadowrun?
No.
Okay, that definitely is a lot of pretty big influence. There's like, you know, decks, and you like go into cyberspace and you do certain puzzles, other fun stuff like that. Anyway, so granted, this is based off of Blade Runner. A lot of like cyberpunk stuff, especially from like the 80s, was very focused on, oh no, Japan is taking over. Because the Japanese economy was booming. America was kind of falling behind a little bit. So a lot of folks were kind of like, oh, fuck, Japan and China are going to take over. So there's a very lot of like orientalist like type of fear in a lot of like cyberpunk or like cyberpunk media. And, you know, sometimes you see this too with like sometimes there's like Japanese characters randomly and stuff, or like whatever. I feel like Neuromancer kind of sidesteps that. Granted, I don't know if you read the, I don't know if you had the book with the foreword, but like Gibson was just like, yeah, I didn't really account for like the USSR, like, the downfall of that.
Yeah.
So I probably would have changed how some of, like, that went. And, but yeah, like, you know, yeah, Case starts out in Japan. But I have a feeling that the way that Gibson made the world was to kind of be like, everything's very interconnected, like, going from one area to the next. Like, you know, he goes, like, yeah, it starts in Japan, he goes to America, he goes to Europe, and then he goes to space. It's not everything centered around, like, oh, here's these, like, Japanese products, and everything's very foreign and, like, weird and dark or anything like that. It's, well, it's dark, but it's still not falling into that, like, aspect. Yeah, and that trope.
Yeah. I did also, I would say one thing that I thought was really strange, given, like, how much time is spent in Japan and, like, how much, like, it's, like, where he's at in Japan is shown to be, like, a tech, like, marvel and a tech hub, even if he's in, like, the seedier parts of it. The virus they use is a Chinese virus.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no reason for it to be a Chinese. Like, they could have gotten a Japanese virus, and that would have made way more sense in the context of the earlier parts of the book.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I would say, like, that kind of aspect was, like, oh, so did, like, I guess you can infer, like, oh, did, like, China was trying to use, well, not only that, not even say just a Chinese virus, you could have just said the virus name. Like, you can be like, blah, 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 is made by the Chinese government, or, like, a bunch of, like, Chinese cowboys who do the thing, right? Like, you could have been a little bit more descriptive instead of Chinese virus.
And this book definitely is trying to avoid politics in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because, like, a really easy way to stick with, like, oh, it's a Chinese virus made by the Chinese government is because, oh, it's trying to take down, like, a multinational hyper-capitalistic company, and they're communists.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be that the aims of this AI align with the communist government of China. But that's not, like, maybe that's, like, supposed to be implied?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that you mentioned that, definitely sidesteps the talk of politics, because, like, a lot of, like, other cyberpunk stuff is very much, like, showing of late-stage capitalism and all this other, you know, and the, like, the outcomes from that. It's quite political and quite in-your-face about it, depending on the game. So it is very interesting to have kind of a more apolitical type of science fiction book.
Yeah. It's very unique in that aspect, and obviously of its time, given the powers that are mentioned in the book.
Yes, for sure. I think the only thing that was on it, like, any critiques were, was the Armitage's story about pretty much blaming the, you know, having Armitage, like, die, and everyone trying to do a big cover up. I'm like, okay, well, like, that's not that far fetched, and we've done that several times. So it's just kind of like, oh, that's, like, the one kind of any insight into what the U.S. politics were for that time. But everything else was very focused on Wintermute and that entire heist.
Do we think it does cyberpunk better than the cyberpunk media that follows, or worse?
When I make this question, and then I'm like, man, maybe I shouldn't have made this question. I think it's better in some ways in terms of kind of, like, the griminess of it. It, like, Case just starts out in the gutter and, like, sometimes returns to the gutter. And then, like, when he looks at a bunch of, like, pretty shit, he still is like, yeah, but where's the drugs, though? And then, like,
sorry, but where's your local gutter?
Yeah, where's your local gutter? And, you know, kind of pulls back the veneer of, like, this perfect, like, when he was, you know, when they're on the colony stuff and just these, like, this world that's just so fake. I, you know, I feel like it does a pretty good job of showcasing that. Mm-hmm. However, I when we rewatched Ghost in the Shell, I really like re-enjoyed it. Like initially when I watched it as like a teenager, I was like, what the fuck is this philosophical shit going on? But like I thought, like, granted, cyberpunk is like a completely different thing. It is not a heist thing. It's whatever. But it did mm-hmm. kind of interrogate, like, oh, what is a, like, we're cybernetics. Like, we're kind of part cyborg. Like, what does that mean? Do we have a soul? Do we have everything? Mm-hmm. And I know we have, like, I guess you could make that parallel with, like, the AI. But, like, mm-hmm. the AI in this story, I feel like it could have been expanded upon a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I know that wasn't what the story is about. It was like the heist, right? Like mm-hmm. that's what it was all about. So I think I guess other future or like other cyberpunk stories after this does a better job of exploring the human condition and like what does AI mean to us, what does technology mean to humans, like those types of questions.
Mm-hmm. Agree, absolutely. So what was the silliest thing you encountered reading this?
I want to say just Case dying all the time was kind of funny to me.
Yeah. I would say probably the fact that bank that they like initially like cracked into and like they caused the like riot. You would think that if everyone was living in like cyberspace and there are all these cowboys like all around like doing crime jobs and whatnot, the people would be a bit more skeptical.
Yeah.
And it worked for the story, but also I thought it was funny that like cops still be copping and just yeah. like start like beating the shit out of and like killing these people who are rioting.
All right. Did the tech Gibson envision come to pass? Are we approaching something like that now? Will we ever? So I would say for the cyberspace piece, it's like, I guess you could imagine or think of that as virtual reality, but not mm-hmm. actually traveling through actually the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're still aware of your body.
Yeah.
Whereas like Case is like, oh, I'll just jack into like cyberspace and like stay there for 12 hours and like not shit myself.
Yeah.
Or need to drink water or move.
Yeah. And I think I don't know if they're like, we barely got virtual reality, like VR headsets and things to be actually, they're still not that affordable for most people. Like that space is still very nascent. And I don't even know if folks really want to have that full body, like, sensation of being elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know if we can truly, if folks really want that, if we can truly trick our brains into thinking that, you know? Like, yeah. That is, like, so much extra hardware and things like that.
Yeah. I would not trust that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will we ever?
Possibly.
I mean, yeah, never say never.
Yeah, exactly. Never say never. Thinking of, you know, so, you know, we went to space and have these space colonies and other stuff like that. I think we will, because mm-hmm. some motherfucker is going to be like, still, you know, we already have all the billionaires going to like New Zealand. These motherfuckers mm-hmm. are going to be like, well, what if we just went into space, though?
Mm-hmm.
And that's them.
Yeah, that and like, the maybe one of the most realistic things was like, oh, we sent a bunch of miners up to like
yes
mine this stuff and then they revolted and created their own colony. Like, yeah, no, that will happen.
Yeah,
because the company's sure. going to be like, let's exploit resources outside of the earth, and then the yep. miners will be like, this shit sucks.
Yep. For real, that's it. Like, have you watched The Expanse or read any of those books?
Lovelace had me watch an episode of The Expanse.
Okay. Well, there are also a group of miners, but I mean, there's folks who living on these colonies, like Beltalotas, who do a bunch of mining stuff. They can't go back to Earth. Like, a lot of them are born on these colonies and aren't used to, like, they're growing in, like, weird ways because of the gravity affects them differently. They can't go to Earth because they probably would just die. So eventually they take over this Mormon ship that was being built for the Mormons because they wanted to go out into Jupiter or the fuck and then get woken
find
up
Xenu.
Later. Yeah, find Xenu. And then those motherfuckers, and then the Beltas took it over and essentially tried to be a new independent state or sovereign state. So that is not too far off what Gibson already kind of had. You know, it's a very close to probably what would happen.
And then the Futurama version is they're whalers on the moon.
Yeah, they're whalers on the moon.
And but they do still make a theme park essentially out of where they're at, which fully lines up.
Oh yeah, for sure. So I think like virtual reality, not so much. Space colonization, all the other stuff, definitely will be something.
Implants, knife fingers, maybe.
Maybe. I like, you know, we've had pacemakers. There's actually might be a pacemaker for the brain soon enough to help with depression as a thing. What is that? Elon Musk's cyber
Neuralink,
like
where he killed like 1,500 chimps.
Yeah, because he's a dumbass. Anyway, you know, there's a lot of, like, we haven't done the whole, like, all right, put a computer in my body, like a whole ass computer and replace my guts yet. We're getting there.
Yeah.
We're getting to that
maybe.
Or a little bit. Slowly but surely.
We might have some governments intervene eventually and be like, we need to debate the ethics of this. Maybe.
Debate the ethics, but let's put it into our soldiers. Anyway.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
So, final question. Would you live in any of the places Gibson described? If so, why?
Man, this is a tough one because the way he described stuff wasn't that far off of what we have right now.
Yeah.
like, a lot of the places sounded, like, pretty nice. Japan only sounded not great was because Case was on a bunch of fucking drugs, slumming it around in, like, the worst possible areas, you know, imaginable.
Yeah. I mean, he does go to Harajuku.
Yeah.
That exists. Like, a lot of the places that Gibson talked about are just places.
Yeah.
It's more cybery.
Yeah, but more cybery. Apparently the Atlanta to Boston sprawl didn't sound too fucking bad.
Yeah.
You know, so
you can get a train from one end to the other in like what, an hour?
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
Dope.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would want from a train now.
does the weather suck in Boston? Okay, just go to Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly. And then space colony stuff, not about that. That seems pretty like very
the gravity fuckery.
Oh my god. Yeah, the gravity fuckery. I don't know if I can handle that, but I guess if I had to choose any of the places, it sounded like the sprawl sounded like, or the, sorry, the Atlanta Boston sprawl didn't sound too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded pretty normal. Everything was a little bit more fast paced.
Yeah. Same, and you don't have to learn Japanese.
Yeah. Apparently not. So, you know.
Well, there you go.
All right. So that was Neuromancer. I hope folks who did read the book enjoyed it or reread it and was like, yes, I now remember things. That was our nice book break from all of the philosophy that we were doing and historical stuff. So we're going right back into history and environmental stuff. Yes. So for next month of March, we're doing King Richard by Michael Dobbs. We're going to learn more about Tricky Dick and him being more of a dick, a drunk dick. And then in April, we're doing Socialist States and the Environment, Lessons for Eco-Socialist Futures by Salvatore Ingel Di Mauro. And anything else, Jimmy?
Books are good, actually.
Books are actually good. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.